Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace be to you from God, our Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who sends us out. Amen. So we continue with our narrative lectionary readings this fall. We heard a couple weeks ago the story of creation, the very beginning of the Bible, and a few stories come in between there and now. The story of Noah and the flood happens, and the Tower of Babel, and the story of Abraham. And that brings us to Jacob, who is Isaac's son, Abraham's grandson. And Abraham was blessed by God with the promises of many descendants and a land for his descendants as well. And I love the story of Jacob. It's one of my favorite in all of Scripture. And so when it comes up, I need to tell you a bit and remind you of this beautiful story of Jacob. And it begins with Isaac and his wife Rebekah, the son of Abraham, living a nomad's life in where we now call Israel. And they are married for 20 years, but without children. Isaac is almost 60. And again, they have to hope and pray. And finally, Rebecca becomes pregnant with not one, but two boys. And during her third trimester with these two sons, Rebecca is in such pain that she can hardly stand it. And this is because they are fighting in her womb. And what God does is comes to Rebecca during this third trimester and says to her, "Your sons will be leaders of separate nations, and the older will be submissive to the younger." And this is radical, because at the time, birth order was incredibly important for society, and those who were born first always got the blessing and the inheritance. But God is changing things in this story. And finally, when the twins are born, Esau is born first, but Jacob is born immediately after, holding on to Esau's foot, because Jacob wanted to be born first and could hardly stand it. Esau is the older twin, the firstborn. He is a strong and capable man. The name Esau actually means red and hairy, because he was so covered with red hair all over his body. And he was a man's man. He loved to hunt, and he loved to go out for days, weeks, months at a time on hunting trips. But Jacob, the younger twin, liked to stay home. And he was very clever, very quick-witted, and was blessed with those gifts. But being clever also bordered on being devious when it comes to Jacob. And when Esau returns one day from a long hunting trip, he's so hungry he can hardly stand it. Jacob is waiting for him with a bowl of hot stew and says to Esau, "I'll give you this stew if you give me your birthright." And Esau agrees. And this is only the beginning of the two of them having struggles. After this happens, Isaac is getting very old, and he's blind, and he asks Esau to go and get him some game, to go hunting, come back, make him a stew, and he will proclaim the blessing upon Esau. And this is the blessing that Abraham, his father, received from God, and God gave to Isaac, and now Isaac is going to give it to Esau, the firstborn. But Jacob has other ideas, and Rebekah is part of this plan. Rebekah and Jacob hatch this devious plan to fool Isaac into giving the blessing to Jacob. And so Jacob goes and kills a goat and uses it to make a stew and takes the skins of the goat and puts it on his arms and the back of his neck, and he puts on a robe that belongs to Esau, and he goes into Isaac and says, "I'm Esau, here's your stew that I've returned with." And Isaac even says, "There's no way you could have gone out hunting and come back this quickly." He doubts what's going on. But Jacob again assures him, "I am Esau," and Isaac, not knowing any better, but suspicious, gives the blessing to Jacob. And when Esau returns from his hunt, he is irate. He is completely and totally upset by this betrayal of Jacob and Rebekah. And because he's so angry, Rebekah becomes very frightened for Jacob's life and his safety. And she tells him to go to Haran to see her brother Laban, or his uncle Laban, and there she's hopeful that he will find safety. So Jacob leaves and he runs north. And Rebekah says, "I will tell you when it is safe for you to come home." And that's the last words that Rebekah ever speaks to Jacob. She dies before he returns and never thinks that it is safe for him to come back. So Jacob runs north, and he actually traces the same path that his grandfather Abraham did when he was traveling, and he covers 450 miles in 20 days. He is young, and he is afraid, and he moves fast. But part of this, after he has run so far and so hard, he becomes completely exhausted, and he falls down and falls asleep with a stone for his pillow, and he dreams. And in this dream, God comes to him, and he sees a vision of a stairway to heaven, or a ramp, or some people traditionally like to call it Jacob's ladder. And he sees angels ascending and descending on this ramp, but they don't say anything to him. They are doing their own jobs, their own work. But God stands next to Jacob in this dream and says to him, "I will give you the promises that I gave Abraham and Isaac, and they are now yours." And when Jacob wakes up, the vision to him is so real that he never calls it a dream, but calls it a vision, and says, "God is in this place." And he takes the stone and he creates an altar with it. But what is so radical about this story, I think, is that Jacob receives the blessing from God even though he has completely messed up. And the problems that he is dealing with are his fault. There's no way to blame it on anybody else, because Jacob clearly is the actor, and he is the one that is suffering from his own choices. The consequences make sense for what he's done, but even though he has done these acts, made these difficult choices, God comes and blesses him anyway. And he is the second born. He's not supposed to receive the blessing, but he does. So it's, again, a reminder to us of how surprising our God is. And I think about this declaration of blessing upon Jacob. God speaks to him, and Jacob also makes a vow to God at the same time. And I think about how these words of blessing are a part of our lives, too. When we have a baptism, God blesses the child or the adult who is baptized, regardless of what this person has done in life or the choices that this person has made. If it's a baby, there's no way to know. God blesses this child no matter what. And I think about yesterday when I did a wedding for this lovely couple, and how they stood up front and said their vows to each other, and how every time I do a wedding, that is the part of the wedding that makes everyone cry. And what is it about the vows? It is people speaking promises to one another that are true and that make something happen. Their relationship is changed. And they speak these vows to one another even though they know that they are not perfect. The other person has foibles and difficulties of their own, but the blessings are spoken and they are true. And that is the story of Jacob as well, that God's love for us is despite all of our foibles. And sometimes in a marriage, it is the imperfections that are the most heartwarming part of the person who you love, or the most fun. And so God can take these difficulties and things that we think are wrong and turn them into blessings. And the words of God are spoken to Jacob, and they are still spoken today at weddings, at baptisms. That's what the church is about speaking blessing upon people and being a part of these moments despite our imperfections. So thanks be to God for the story of Jacob and for the promises we hear and know. Amen.
Please stand as we finish Veterans Month Day.
You may be seated as we receive our days of life.